What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Vince Shorb. He is the founder and CEO of the National Financial Educators Council. They are providing excellent content and training and resources and community for financial literacy and financial wellness. We had a great conversation. It started, of course, with two truths and a lie, and ended with an excellent difference-making tip. In the middle, we talked about the realities of how so many of us struggle financially and why we yo-yo between being in good shape and getting ourselves in trouble and back and forth, and the role that emotions and habits play in personal financial success, the role of feeling like we deserve, and the challenges of keeping up with the Joneses, and how that's moved from literally just trying to keep up with our neighbors who happen to be named the Joneses to the entire world because of social media. I think that you're going to love it. Let's go. Vince, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
I'm trying to get ready, but watching your show, I'm ready to stump you. So let's go for it here. First one is I took on a new project a few years ago, just wanted a new hobby, and I remodeled a home 95% myself, just using what I learned on YouTube and talking to my dad. Second is at 19, I was a bouncer for one of the top clubs in Newport Beach, and I did that with a fake ID because I wasn't old enough to bounce. And the third, I earned my master's degree in finance at an accelerated pace in 5 years and from a top university.
Those are excellent, Vince. I'm grateful that you put some time and thought into this. You remodeled your own home. You were a bouncer at 19 in Newport Beach, the rough streets of Newport Beach, and you earned your master's in 5 years from a prestigious university. I'm going to say that number three is the lie.
You're definitely correct.
Yes. Definitely
correct. Nice. I thought I'd throw you with that, but hey, you got it. You're back on your streak here.
Back on the streak. All right. There's a lot of good stuff here. So did you in fact get a master's degree?
No. I didn't really enjoy college too much. My teachers, oftentimes the first day of class, I'd always ask what your experience in the real world, right? I remember I took a class on real estate development. I said, hey, have you ever developed any real estate, or what projects have you done? He said, yeah, I started one. I went bankrupt. So he's a teacher now. I'm like, okay, well, check this class off. I'm going to take everything he says with a grain of salt. And most of my teachers were like that in college. So there were a few that were really good where I was really into and picked their brain a lot. The majority, it was like, why am I learning from these people?
I appreciate that. So how many years ago did you do the remodel on the house?
You know, I'm at the 95% mark right now. So it's a fun project, but it's nice to get my hands so dirty. You know, back in the day when I was going through college too, I was a door hanger. So I had experience hanging doors. I get paid $1. I got a raise to $2 a door and exterior doors. And, you know, I just missed that working with the hands. So I'm finalizing the boring part now, which is the caulking and the final touch-ups, but enjoyable process overall.
All right. $2 a door. You got to hang a lot of doors.
Some days we were slinging 100 doors, but they're 8-footers, double pane glass. You know, so it wasn't the interior light doors. They're exterior heavy, you know, walking through mud and, you know, carrying these things up second story. So it was a good workout.
200 doors a day.
100 doors, I make $200 a day, but okay. On a good day. Some days we'd have 30 or 40 doors, but on the good days, 100, 120 doors was a great day for us.
Wow. That's awesome. I'm somebody who has hung probably 5 doors, so I know how difficult that whole process is. You obviously got really good at it.
It was a steep learning curve, but I got there.
I like it. Well, what is top of mind for you right now, Vince?
You know, our real focus as a company of the National Financial Educators Council is really promoting financial wellness. And that's always top of mind. I wake up thinking about it. How can I get people educated about money? How can I help people live a better and stronger life? And we'll really focus on just education. And right now, our big priority is scaling state by state. So now we serve every state just on a national level. We're in 70 countries as well. But now we're building out our state chapters, which is exciting. So we launched our fifth state chapter, Texas and Massachusetts launched concurrently a few months ago. We have New York and Illinois launching in late April, early May. And so, you know, we're really trying to get back to, you know, it's funny how the internet took us all further away, right? And through COVID, we got used to this type of communication. But I'm really feeling that people want this need for community. They feel this need for getting local, connecting, pressing palms. And, you know, so we're trying to really build, centers where people can go and have that personal connection and relate with people on that personal level. And not that internet's bad or anything like that, but, you know, it's nice to shake a hand now and again, right? And that's been our focus. That's been my driving force every morning here now. And a big portion of that, too, is advocacy. You know, we're advocates for promoting financial education in schools and with parenting. So, you know, these chapters are really focused on not only providing access to quality materials, but also advocating, hey, parents, let's teach kids in schools. Let's get that in. So you don't do what, like I did after, you know, during college where you made some mistakes, get behind the eight ball a little bit and try to play catch up early on. So that's really our focus. And that's what I'm most excited about here these days.
Well, that is exciting. You have your work cut out for you, but just go one at a time.
There we go. That's exactly our model here.
So tell me about the problems that you're working to solve. How are they showing up?
Yeah, I think, you know, the majority of people, if we look at the country as a whole, it's the majority of people are going through financial challenges. A lot of them aren't necessary. I noticed this when I was in financial services. I spent about 15 years in financial services before founding this company in 2006. And what I found was I would help people out, put them in a good situation. They'd be looking good. And then they would use that extra money for things that took them off course. They would come back, you know, 5, 6, 7 months later. I'm in the same problems I was experiencing before. And, you know, after thousands of these kept coming around, like, you know, it's more than just fixing a problem. A lot of it's behavioral. And, you know, doing the research, a lot of behaviors are formed at a very young age. A few studies out there point between 7 and 9 years old, work ethic habits and also financial habits are formed. So really, I saw this as a really widespread problem that starts as a kid, continues through adulthood. And if we look at the country as a whole, 2/3 of people are just getting by, coping, or in a very bad situation. And, you know, we're in America. This is the land of opportunity. There's so many benefits we have here. And it's really sad to see that so many people are struggling. And so that's really our focus. Hey, how do we help people get the skill sets early, right? And proactively address that so they're not getting into those early mistakes that a lot of people experience, college debt, just credit card debt, you know, making a dumb credit mistake that we all did coming out of college. You know, you forget to pay a bill. Oh, no big deal. Well, 7 years later, it's still impacting you. You know, buying a car that's way over what you can budget. So, you know, I think there's ways that we can help proactively help people avoid those situations. And our work's a lot focused there with youth and kids, but we also serve adults who are, hey, I'm how do I get out of the situation now that I'm in there? Or, hey, I'm not struggling anymore. How do I plan for my future retirement, et cetera? We're not in financial services. We don't offer financial products, but it's strictly education based on life stages they're in, whether it be, you know, having a family, how much it costs to have a family or get married, or, hey, I want to buy my first home, right? There's different life stages that people go through. And the beauty of today is through programs like yours is there's access to information, right? So we're trying to address the behavioral side, increase that access to quality education, and also just encourage people, hey, there is hope for you. It will take some time to study. There's some, you know, work that needs to be done. And even if you do everything right and get the education, things may still go your way, but let's build some resiliency so you can, you know, create a better life for yourself and your family as well.
Well said. All right. So I'm learning a lot of work ethic and financial habits from very young age, 7 to 9. So That's just observing the people I'm around. That's where I'm picking these up, or how does that work?
Observation's a big one. So a great insight there. Also, we have a lot of negative influencers out there these days. You know, when I grew up, I don't want to age myself, but we had TV, radio, and smoke signals, right? That was kind of the ways we communicated. Nowadays, you know, you have this. I mean, it follows you everywhere. Targeted ads, you have really integrated advertising campaigns, you have influencer network that are often showing, you know, this lavish lifestyle, which is wonderful for them, but it's not what most people can afford. You have peer influencers that are all influenced by these ads, by these, you know, other influencers. And now that, you know, just a behavioral finance topic is we feel we deserve what our peers have. So we feel, oh, hey, those shoes, they're $200. I should buy those because I deserve them. So, you know, this concept of keeping up with the Joneses has greatly expanded. Now we have a global connectivity here. So I think, you know, it's observation not only from the family, but now this extended network. Additionally, personal finance and work ethic typically aren't taught at a young age. Some states are starting to mandate personal finance in late high school, but they'll throw in like 20 hours or 30 hours. And you know, I mean, imagine trying to learn anything after 30 hours. Or even if you're trying to do a podcast, set up a podcast show after 30 hours of study, you're going to need a lot more. You're going to need practice. You're going to need implementation, tweaking the camera, and same with personal finance. So it's not taught with the rigor needed to combat all the habits that have formed. In addition, it's not proactively addressing them in a safe, secure space so they can make those early good financial decisions that don't get them in trouble.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Personal finance is enormous. We've got investing and insurance and taxes and planning and so many more things. So I can certainly understand how and why I can look at that as a consumer and just say, ugh, I'm overwhelmed by it. I'll do that tomorrow or next week or next year. And we don't get a lot of content on that. We get 20, 30 hours, which is better than nothing. All that's true. And do I need to become a CFA or a CFP to understand and to be successful with money?
You know, for the basic foundation, I tell people, hey, simplify it. You need income. You need to monitor and reduce your expenses so you're able to save on a regular basis monthly, right? That if we just simplify to one thing, are you able to save every month after planning for not only your bills now, but also those future expenses you need to budget for, that, you know, future, maybe your car's getting old, you need to buy a new one. Are you putting that extra $50 a month aside for those things you need in the future? So if you're able to plan your expenses that are occurring now and in the future, and still able to save, you're in a good position, right? So that's foundation level one. And really from there, you know, things can get a little more complex because there's so many different types of investments and opportunities. I always tell people, hey, whatever you're investing in, gain an expert level knowledge in that. Now, a lot of people disagree with me because they say, hey, there's professionals that can handle that. There's professionals that can do that. But just having bought a house recently, you know, I knew more than the realtor. I led the entire thing. There were many mistakes on not only agreement, but also the appraisal that I caught because I have that expert level knowledge that I gained through 30 years of investing in real estate. And I think it's important because that could have cost me, you know, just doing quick math here, $4,000 or $5,000 in added fees, which is a big deal, right? So, you know, things like that, I, again, that and maybe not an expert level, but enough to ask good questions and enough to recognize when things are out of whack and enough to be able to say, hey, let me get a second opinion on this because I don't think this is jiving with what I understand. So maybe an expert level is too high of an expectation, but at least enough to ask some good, intelligent questions on any investment, whether it's real estate, your stock market, crypto, whatever somebody's into, gaining enough knowledge there because you worked hard for that money. You're putting in 40, 50, 60 hours a week working. And yet a lot of people don't invest many hours into their personal finance or studying or learning. And I always tell people, hey, you're spending 60 hours a week working. You know, shouldn't you allocate maybe 2-3 hours toward personal finance or gaining that knowledge? And after a year, you have a good foundation of any topic under your belt. And again, today there's so many fun ways to learn. We can watch our show. We can read a book. We can, you know, just scan the internet, do research. So there's fun ways to learn that appeal to people. And of course, they go to our classes with our certified instructors, but everybody learns differently. So we have access to information. We don't have to go to the library, search for books via Dewey Decimal System or other things. It's there and available. So that's where I want to see people so that they, when they go to sleep at night, they're like, I know why I made that decision. I remember going back to my days in financial services, I would get calls late or emails late saying, hey, I'm not certain about this now, right? I knew they were laying in bed going, oh, I'm not comfortable, and because they didn't understand. I want people to go to bed saying, hey, I know why I made this decision. I'm going to continue this forward because it makes sense in my plan, and there's some confidence with their decisions. So not just learning personal finance, but having the confidence to make decisions, especially when things go against them, right? The ability to act. I think that's the level everybody should be at when they are actively investing.
Confidence plays such a major role in success in any endeavor or field, certainly when it comes to money and being able to withstand life's curveballs, which are inherently going to be coming.
Very true. Very true. And yeah, it's, you know, you can do everything right. You know, I had a friend that saved up years, worked so hard as a cook for celebrities and other people. And he had this dream. I knew him from the gym for about 20 years-ish. And I saved up. COVID hit. He opened his restaurant and COVID hit, right? And due to he planned well, but it didn't survive, right? And so you can do everything right. I'm hoping he's good now. I've since moved out of the state. I'm hoping he's good. But it's one of those things. Hey, there's things like you said, curveballs that do occur. You need to kind of be prepared for, not only from a financial standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, which money impacts us emotionally, whether you're doing well off financially or not, it has an emotional impact, on us and it spills over to many areas of our life.
The Dewey Decimal System, Vince, I wonder what the cutoff is. I'm 45 years old. I'm certainly well-versed in the Dewey Decimal System, but I don't know if the younger generation is. So there's a pretty good list we could put together of things that the millennial generation on. I don't know if they'd be able to navigate Dewey Decimal or drive a manual transmission.
Very, very, very true.
That's a story for another day, though. Can you save money? My grandfather grew up on a farm in South Dakota during the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl, served in World War II, got recalled to Korea, and then went on to have a 30-year career with New York Life. And he would always tell me, it's like, I can tell you if you're going to be financially successful or not, really simply, can you save money?
That's a great, great influence there for you. It sounds like you had some good conversation with him surrounding money. I'm sure some of that spilled over onto you, having an influence like that, that went through some very challenging times.
Yeah. And a lot of it is, I mean, I love how that was one of the first things you said, can you save money? And then number two is we need to gain, be it an expert level of competence, or just to have a working knowledge of what it is that you're investing in. It's great I'm super excited when people are contributing to a 401k at work, but how well do you understand what you're invested in? To your point exactly, can you explain to me what your target date fund is and how that's actually working, or how your asset, whatever it is? So I think that that's such an important thing, and that doesn't take that long.
No, it's funny you mentioned that. I remember back in the days when I was in the corporate world, financial services, and you know, there would be a new plan that came out or some new opportunity through the company, and you see heads pop over the cubicles. Hey, what are you doing here? What's going on? What are you choosing? What plan are you choosing? You know, so that's where a lot of financial knowledge is gained, through asking peers, family, and other members. And that may be okay if they know what they're doing. But you know, if it's Bob that watches, you know, local news, or, you know, trades stocks randomly, asking him for advice that, or when he doesn't know your situation, that can lead to trouble. So I like your term, working knowledge. Great term there.
Yeah. In terms of, we human beings we're always on guard, because you talked about our smartphones are following us around everywhere we go. And there's an army of marketers and algorithms and this, that, and the other thing, who are interested in extracting our resources, money being one of those. And sure. So you need to understand the source from where you're receiving information. And I really like the work that you're doing with the Education Council, because I view it as about as unbiased as you can be.
Yeah, that's been in focus from day one. You know, it's like, if somebody goes on online, let's say they're in severe debt, right? They go online and they're reading an article and it says, okay, you know, declare bankruptcy. Well, it's written by a bankruptcy attorney. Okay, do, you know, next article. Okay, do debt payoff negotiation. Okay, it's written by a negotiation company, which they may be good options, but you're getting kind of biased information. And our focus from day one was, we'll never have any national sponsor that influences any of our materials. We won't work with credit card, even though I don't mind credit card companies for adults, we won't work with them, anything to do with them, because we know a lot of people don't know how to manage that. You know, so we've been very selective with who we work with. And again, our focus has been independent resources, that aligns with our we're a certified B corporation. So we have to have a social impact model that's focused not only on our workers, our governance, but also our clients who we're serving, who we're educating, being completely transparent. So there's no ulterior agenda or ulterior motive. We want people to gain the education. We want people to know when they're reading, we're going to provide all the different options. Hey, here's some different options you can explore. We don't know you, right? We don't know you on that level. So here's a way to do that. Now, with our coaches, it's different. Our coaches dive into somebody's financial situation. So they're, you know, they have a more intimate knowledge of somebody, so they can give more specialized guidance and education. Where if you're teaching classrooms, you're not going to know the 50 people in the classroom. So you have to give more, you know, give the students some freedom to follow pathways that they know about themselves that you as the educator doesn't. So it makes it an interesting process. But I think anytime, you know, we're talking education, keeping it bias free, keeping it on the topic focus and not having any ulterior motives is an important piece of that. And, you know, I don't mind, we work a lot with financial services, other professional. I think it's wonderful, but our financial service people are very transparent. Hey, I'm also a financial advisor. If you want to talk outside of this, great. But here in this classroom, I'm an educator. This is what we're focused on. So there's some trust building just through transparency.
Yeah, totally agree. Great. Well, Vince, we are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for us, sir?
Well, I had a tip, but, you know, I think what we discussed kind of brought up another one. And, you know, I'm going to go off what you said about curveball. You know, I think we need to be resilient, especially in this day and age. Resiliency is key. You know, it's tougher, it's competitive, it's we have many blessings being in this country, but there's things that happen outside of our, even as planned as we want to be, there's things that can happen, so it's really important to build up that resiliency muscle. And I think if people can, find ways to adapt and not only cope, but find ways to thrive and look at it as a personal challenge to overcome, and just be grateful for what they do have in this current state. I think that's a good thing, especially, again, with many different things happening in the world. So I change up my tip there, but I think it's based off your point there of, hey, life throws us curveballs and resiliency is key to deal with them.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on, Vince. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with the National Financial Education Council?
Yeah, George, if you want to talk to me personally, my LinkedIn is Vince Shorb, S-H-O-R-B, or you can visit our website. And we work with anybody that has a passion for bringing financial wellness to their communities, whether on the educator, the coach, or the advocate level. We support them and provide them the training resources to do so effectively. FinancialEducatorsCouncil.org. Long name, three words, financialeducatorscouncil.org. But love your show, George. Always good to see you on watching your show, but even better to talk to you in person here.
Well, I love it. I appreciate your time and even more appreciate the value of the work that you are doing. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, go to financialeducatorscouncil.org and check out the great resources that Vince and his team are working on. Check their progress as they scale into all 50 states and go from there. Thanks again, Vince. Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.